So 2018, tomorrow, you guys ready? Well, it's going to happen anyway, so here we are. And we're continuing in the Gospel of John. We have all the way until through April. We are going to continue to walk verse by verse through the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 15 today. We're going to look through verses 1 through 8. It's all about Jesus, right? 2017. 2018, we're going to shift gears a little bit, and the theme for 2018 is Jesus Strong. We heard about Boston Strong after their tragedy and terrorism act, and we heard about Houston Strong after getting through the hurricane and the flooding, and I would like South Hills Church to be Jesus Strong. Amen? Amen. And so we're going to look at God's Word each Sunday, and we're going to talk about how to become strong in Christ. And so today, we're going to talk about Jesus and his great harvest for you. Do you know that in 2018, God has a plan for your life, and it's to have a great harvest in you and through you? Are you ready? So let's read together. Please stand with me, John 15, 1 through 8. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. There's so much encouragement here, and so much direction, so much wisdom. Jesus is talking, and he says these words, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Father in heaven, I thank you for the clarity of your word. Apart from you, Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. So, Lord God, I know these minutes here together will accomplish nothing unless we abide in Christ. Lord God, I rest in you. I trust in you. I pray it would be your word that people hear today, not my word. And I pray, Lord God, that this church in 2018, we would bear much fruit. Lord, I pray that in 2018, there would be a great harvest in us and through us here at South Hills Church. I pray, Lord God, that we would abide in Christ. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Please be seated. If you are a student of God's Word, you will notice that God loves to use illustrations to describe a relationship with us. Some of the most common illustrations you're going to find in the Bible is number one, the shepherd and the sheep. Okay, so you will see that God is describing himself. Jesus is the good shepherd and we're the sheep. The good is that we can stay close to him and follow him. The bad is all of us are like sheep when we go astray. Okay, so you got a lot of illustrations there, do you not? We also have an illustration of a building. We have the church being described as a building, not necessarily physical, but it's a illustration. But that Jesus is the cornerstone. And so if you're going to build your life, if you're going to build a purpose in your life, you need to put it on the cornerstone, the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so that's a visual picture of the Christian life. I love the one in the Old Testament where God describes himself as a mother hen and we're the chicks, okay? And the picture is that in times of storm, we can be gathered together. He loves to gather together his chicks and we're under his wings. It's a good place to be, by the way. God's protection. There's also the description of our relationship with God, the husband and his bride. And so Jesus is the groom, we're the bride of Christ, and there is a love relationship we have with him. And he's gone to prepare a place for his bride, and he's going to come back for his bride, and we will be together with him forever. Amen. There's also a picture or a story or an illustration of our relationship with God where he's the head and we're the body. So it's kind of a physical body, and we understand Jesus is the head. He's in charge. He's the one who directs us. He's the one who controls the direction of the church. We're his body. We're his hands. We're his feet. So all of these illustrations help us in understanding how to relate to God and how he relates to us. And now we come to another illustration, and it's the illustration of the vineyard. Do you know that grapes are the most widely grown fruit in the world? Did you know that? Interesting. The grapevine is part of Israel's national emblem. A multitude of colors of grapes and sizes and flavors. There are four main purposes of grapes. Did you know, number one, fresh fruit? By the way, the grapes I showed, I got at Yokes. They're $3.99 a pound. That little cluster was 2 pounds. I paid $8 for that cluster of grapes. Oh my goodness, what I'll do for the kids. Raisins, juice, wine, and probably many, many other purposes. I learned that one vine, if it's healthy and taken care of, can produce up to 80 pounds of grapes in one season. And there are over 1 million vineyards in the world. Tri-City area is seeing more and more every year. Now, why is Jesus pointing out this illustration to the disciples? They've had that Passover meal. They are heading out of Jerusalem proper into the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane. Why does this illustration all of a sudden come to the forefront in the mind and heart of Jesus? One possibility is a golden vine with a cluster of grapes as large as a man was on the side of the temple. And as they were going from the upper room, possibly through the temple area, or at least out the east gate, as they left the upper room, possibly Jesus stopped, we don't know this for sure, and saw this huge vine with grapes on the side of the temple. And said, let me tell you another story about the relationship God wants with you. So let me give you a kind of some overview of this illustration. Number one, it's all about the gardener, okay? And the gardener is our Heavenly Father. John 15:1 says, my Father is the vine dresser. So sometimes we make the first mistake. We think it's all about us and what we're going to do and our resolutions and how we're going to fix our lives. And I just want to tell you, from a Christian perspective, Christ followers believe this truth, that it's all about God. Okay, my Father is the vine dresser. The New International says gardener. The King James says husbandman. Basically, I love this word, vine dresser, and this is something you need to understand, that it means not only that he is the owner, but he is the one who is personally working in the vineyard. Okay, so he didn't just buy a vineyard and now he's over here sitting on the beach somewhere and letting. He's actually invested into the vineyard. That's what this word means. The vine dresser means owner and one personally involved. So if your perspective of God is that he's out there somewhere and he doesn't care about you, that is not what Jesus is teaching. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. He's in charge. He owns everything. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. 1 Peter 2:9, for you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people, watch this, for his own possession. Luke 10:2, the Lord of the harvest, his harvest. You see, everything here belongs to God. You belong to God. And when you get this clear in your mind, that all your possessions, all that you have, your job, your future, your family, everything you have belongs to him. Until you get that clear in your mind, you'll always be sideways as a Christ follower. What I mean by that is you're always going to think it's about you and how you're going to control your situation. And as long as you think you're in control of everything, you're going to have a problem. Okay? When you come to God and you fully understand it's everything is His, and your life and your breath and everything is His, now you come to a place where God can really work powerfully in your life. Okay, number two, you need to understand, here's a kind of a summary principle, and we've been learning this all year. It's all about the vine, okay, and that is Jesus, His Son. John 15:1, Jesus says, I am the true vine. He also says this in verse 5. Now, why would He say, I'm the true vine, versus just saying, I'm the vine? Well, the word true means genuine. It means not an upshoot. In other words, if you, I work with roses a little bit, and sometimes you get a branch that comes up from the soil, and it's kind of not going to produce anything. It's not going to give you any flowers. It's just tall, strangling thing, and you got to get rid of it, okay, right? When Jesus says, I'm the true vine, He is not an unwanted usurper. His life will actually produce fruit. Okay, so now He's surrounded by a lot of religious leaders. He's surrounded by a lot of false vines, false prophets, false messiahs. And by the way, we need to figure this out. Who are you following? Are you following a false vine or the true vine? Jesus also points out in John 1 that He's the true light. And in John 6, He's the true bread. So you have lots of choices in this world. Lots of people claiming to have truth. But you need to come to a place where Jesus is the true vine in your life. Okay. Now, number three, here's a third overview principle. Number three, it's all about His harvest. Glory to the Father. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. So, first possibility is that not everyone that calls themselves a Christian is truly connected to the true vine. So He might be referring here to verse 2, to some people that in the nation of Israel, in the world of religion, that are claiming to be connected to God, but they're not, okay? Because they're not really connected to a personal relationship with Jesus, and so God will take them away. In other words, I don't see them as bearing fruit. They're not really part of the vine here. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified. So there is no glory when there's no fruit, okay? And evidence that God is in you will always be fruit, okay? So if you think your life matters, the question is, does it matter to God, okay? Is there evidence in your life that God is at work in you and through you? Your purpose on earth, my purpose on earth is to give God glory, okay? And if we're not giving Him glory, we are missing His purpose. And the only way you give Him glory is to bear fruit, okay? So if you're not bearing fruit, you're not giving glory, and you're missing the purpose God has for your life. Every genuine Christ follower knows this truth. We long, we pray for, we seek to give glory to God. If you are a genuine Christ follower, you know, as you look at 2018, there's a lot of unknowns, but there's one thing I want. I want to give glory to God this year. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what ups and downs, through success, through hardship, through trials, through challenges. It doesn't matter. Whatever happens, whatever comes our way, this is the one thing I want to have my eyes on. I want to give God glory. Now, that'll happen when we produce fruit in the situation. So here's the question I want us to zero in on right now. How does a bountiful harvest happen? Okay, I planted a fruit tree, and everybody had fruit trees. I planted a fruit tree, no harvest, no fruits. What did I do wrong? I had to start talking to people. I had to start learning. Oh, you got to prune it. You got to spray it. You got to fertilize it. You got to water it, right? And I go, oh my goodness, I haven't done any of those things. I just planted it and waited for the harvest. So if you're a Christ follower and you're going, well, I just want God to do something. I don't know how He's going to do it. Just do something. Okay, let's look at how a harvest happens. Okay, start with number one. Here it goes. You need to receive His pruning. Oh, my goodness. That's what it says, verse 2. Every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. So there are farmers may be in the room, and there's a season where you send your pruners out on the trees, the orchard, the vineyards, and they have to do some cutting. Okay. You see, a healthy branch needs some help, because what happens is if we are not pruned properly, things start attaching themselves to our priorities and to our lives. If you look at pruning process, the first thing they're going to look for is maybe a branch that is too long. It's getting too far from the vine, so the nourishment will not be there for the harvest. So it's sometimes we get too far from the vine, Jesus, and God's going to bring something into our life to bring us closer to Him. Sometimes there's disease in certain branches, and so it'll hurt the fruit. So the good vine dresser will cut back the disease. Some branches are damaged. They're not healthy. They're too crowded. They need some margin or space so they can produce the harvest. Maybe the branch is pointing the wrong way, so it will not be able to carry the grapes. And so many times in my life, I am pointing my priorities the wrong way. I get too crowded in with the stuff of this world. I get damaged with the hurts of this world. I allow sin into my life because of the disease and the attraction of the things of this world, and it's going to hurt the fruit bearing. And so God says, it's time to prune you.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Now the question is, are you open to that? Okay. And now I want to tell you real quickly that Satan also likes to do some pruning, but he's a hatchet job, okay? So I saw a person pruning their roses once, and I almost stopped the car and tried to help them, but they had a weed eater, and they were pruning their roses on the top there, and I thought, oh my goodness, what are you doing, you know? And I want to tell you that Satan likes to do a hatchet job on your life. He likes to bring hurt into your life. He likes to do damage to your life. But his intent is not to help you bear fruit. So the question is not whether you're getting pruned or not, but are you letting God do the pruning in your life? Now, verse 3 says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Now, you need to understand the word clean here. In the original language, it means to be purged or to be pruned, ready to produce a great harvest. So when you clean a vineyard, you are purging it from whatever is going to damage the harvest. And so he's making a statement to them, the disciples, and they said, I've already been doing a work in your life. And because of this work I'm doing in your life, you already are ready in many ways to have a harvest. You've heard this phrase many times at South Hills Church. Samuel Chan said it in his book. Because of what he does in you, he can do more through you. So if you want a great harvest, you need to let God do a cleansing, pruning work in your life. You need to pray today at the end of 2017, Lord God, if there's something in my life that doesn't belong there, if there's something that I'm holding on to that I shouldn't be clinging to, if there's something that is blocking my vision of Jesus, if there's something that is stopping the harvest, God, do your work in me so that I can have your harvest in me and through me. J.D. Jakes gives an illustration of how God does this. He says, every one of us is born like a key with no cuts in it. And life, God, starts bringing the cuts into the key to shape the key so that the key will open the door of God's abundant life. So the pruning is so very important. Let me clarify with you. Maybe you're not aware. What does God's pruning look like? Different than what Satan might do to your life. Here's a couple of quick descriptions, five of them real quick. God's pruning. Number one, it will always be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict you of sin that will lead you to repentance, not to beat you up, but to bring you to an awareness of what is hurting the harvest, and so you can confess it and make things right. Conviction of the Holy Spirit. Number two is trials. God, according to James 1, and we're going to study the book of James this coming summer, we're going to learn how through trials we become Jesus strong, that trials can cause us to trust Him more. We go through something hard, and our self-independence, our self-sufficiency is cast down, and we cry out to God for help. And so that's pruning. God is allowing trials in our life, and He's trying to get us ready for a greater harvest. Number three, words or impact of other Christians. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. So sometimes, maybe it's in your life group, maybe it's in your friendship group, where we speak into each other's life, and that can be God's pruning. We're going along the road here thinking everything's great, and a fellow Christian says, what are you doing? That is not wise. That does not make sense. And so maybe in your life group, you can speak into each other's life, and that becomes God's pruning. Number four, when we reprioritize God's kingdom, for God's kingdom. So Hebrews 12 says we need to lay aside every weight that's encumbering us, the sin that is clinging to us. We need to say, no, I don't want that in my life. Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So when we start seeing the value of God's kingdom over the kingdom of this world, that's pruning. I don't want this anymore. I want this. Number five, God's word is God's seed in us. The more I spend time in God's word, according to Psalm 1, the more I meditate on his word day and night, what happens? It produces fruit in its season. So if you want a great harvest, you need to look into God's word. Now, what does God's word do? Get ready. Hebrews 4:12. Here's my little translation for you. The word of God is a pruning knife. Okay. What? Well, it's sharp, and it's two-edged, and it cuts into your heart. And it opens you up to see what's going on that doesn't belong there. And so if you want a great harvest in your life, 2018, number one, you need to be ready for his pruning. Number two, you need to rely on his power. You're not going to see a harvest unless it's Jesus doing the harvest in you and through you. Look at what it says in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. So he's describing not a religion. What we talk about here at South Hills Church is a relationship. Okay? Now I need to give you some theology very quickly here. It's very important. If you don't understand this, it'll mess you up with this passage completely. When he says to abide in Christ, there are two elements of abiding in Christ. The first one is what we call positional abiding in Christ. That when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, every child of God abides or is connected to Christ. In fact, if you are a Christ follower, you have to be connected to Jesus. Otherwise, you're not a Christ follower, okay? And that's a position that never changes. By the way, we believe that. We believe that you are secure in that relationship for all eternity, and you are always positionally abiding in Christ. You cannot be a Christian without abiding in Christ. But here he gives us a command to abide in Christ. So now he's taking us to something else. And what I call this is a practical abiding in Christ, where Jesus is asking us by a moment-by-moment situation or decision, I need to live in such a way that I'm connected to Jesus. So I have a connection eternally with Jesus that never changes positionally, but practically I decide whether I'm going to live out that connection with God. Now, that living out, that abiding, is going to take positive choices and negative choices. Now, I've been watching way too much college football this last week. I tell you, it's been good. Weather's been lousy. Stay inside, watch college football, right? Now, here's something interesting I observed. The commercials this last week have been strangely interesting. Here it is. Weight loss, exercise equipment, commercial after commercial. Right next to it, Domino's Pizza, Papa John's. Okay, so now I've got a dilemma here. Am I going to go with the weight loss plan or am I going to go with the pizza plan? Now I've got to figure this out. So there is something I'm going to have to resist, and then there's going to have something I'm going to bring in to find good health, right? Okay, so that's exactly the same thing with abiding in Christ. J. Sidlow Baxter says it like this. To abide is to allow nothing in the life which breaks our communion with Christ. To leave no known sin, unconfessed, unjudged, unexpelled, and by prayerful faith to draw upon him for all strength and wisdom needed to live a Christ-like life. So it involves the negative. I'm going to be alert to what's going to destroy the harvest, and I'm going to be embracing what's going to bring the harvest. Now, if you are abiding in Christ, practically, you're going to see two things. Just real quick, you're going to see these two things happen. You're going to see, first of all, a Christ-like character happen in your life. You're going to start seeing the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to show love where somebody is not very worthy. You're going to show patience. You're going to show kindness and gentleness and goodness. And all of a sudden, the character of Christ is showing up because you decided to lean on Him, rely on His power in tough situations. Then you're also going to see Christ-like conduct. Your behavior will start changing. You go, why am I not wanting to do this anymore? Why do I want to do what God wants me to do? Because you're abiding in Christ. Okay. So now Jesus clarifies it in verse 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. So you get this branch and it's laying on the ground. It's not going to bear anything. But if it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So he says, if you want a great harvest coming in you and through you, you need to stay connected to the vine. Okay. So he says in verse 5, whoever abides in me, and I in him, so this mutual connection relationship. Now watch this, verse 5, he it is that bears much fruit. Man, that's what I want. Is that not what you want? Not for your sake, but for the glory of God. You want your life to matter. You want. It doesn't matter how old you are, and it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. Here is a word of hope that your life can matter, and it can bear much fruit. How? Well, did you read the rest of the verse? Verse 5, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So you have a choice. I think I'll stay disconnected from Jesus practically or positionally, whatever your decision, and I'm just going to go on my own, do my thing. Okay, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be no harvest spiritually in your life. But if you come and you say, I want Christ, I want to abide in Him, I want to live connected to Him, I want my life to matter with Him working in me and through me, you're going to see great things. Description of my heart, my prayer for your heart. It has to be His power this coming year, not mine. It has to be His wisdom, not mine. It has to be His leading, not mine. It has to be His words, not mine. It has to be His love, not mine. It has to be His goodness, not mine. It has to be His glory, not mine. Do you understand what's going on here? You look to His work in you and through you. Philip Yancey says it like this, you must cling to Jesus, not to your comfort. You see, this is the problem we have, is we like comfort. But the more I say to God, no pruning, please. I want to be left alone. Watch that prayer, because when you say that to God, you're forfeiting the harvest He would want in your life. I want to do it on my own. As soon as you say that, by your lack of prayer, by your lack of coming to Him on a regular basis, what you're doing, you're forfeiting the harvest He has for your life. So what other steps does Jesus give to us? Number 3, we need to rest on His promises. So here's the power of abiding in Christ. It says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Okay, now we got a little clarity here. When you're abiding in Christ, what is really going on here? My words abide in you. So this book is a key to whether you're abiding in Christ or not, okay? Now, if you have it on your tablet or your phone, okay, you know what I'm talking about. But what you need to do, 2018, come on now, we need to read it, okay? We need to meditate on it. We need to study it. We need to live it. We need to share it. We need to trust it, okay? And if you want a great harvest, it's going to come because the Word of God is the seed and producing the harvest in you and through you. My wife discovered a Bible app, and I am just getting into it, but man, I want to just highly recommend it. It is amazing what it does. But this Bible app you can put on your phone, and it actually speaks to you. They have a video thing you can click, And so that you start, let's say that we're going to start the book of James, and you can click the video, and it has a little teaching moment of what the book of James is about, what each chapter is about, and the key takeaway points. And before you start reading the book of the Bible, that little app can tell you a little bit about what you're about to read, and it's so clear and it's so powerful. It has videos for every book in the Old Testament or the New Testament. You can open up the book of Joshua, and it'll tell you all about Joshua, and it's just very powerful. Take the reading of God's Word serious. If you want to read through the Bible, great. Great plan. There's lots of plans to do that. But if that overwhelms you, just start with one book and say, okay, God, help me to understand this one book, and take your time with it. Maybe it's to read through the New Testament. Maybe it's to read a psalm, a chapter a day in the Old Testament in the Psalms, and then a chapter in the New Testament at night. Whatever your plan is, have a plan. And with that, you're going to see God's power. Okay, Jerry Bridges says this: trust is not a passive state of mind. It is a vigorous act of the soul by which we choose to lay hold on the promises of God and cling to them despite the adversity that at times seeks to overwhelm us. So you might be hesitating on the pruning of God, and the reason is because you're not grounded in the Word of God. And when you're grounded in the Word of God, and then the stuff starts happening where God is trying to prune you, you go, God, I know this is a good thing. God, I know your plan for me is good. I know you have a love for me. I know you have a compassion for me. I know you have something you're going to do in me and through me. And so you're grounded in the Word of God, and it allows you then to receive by faith the pruning of God. Okay, the Word of God can transform your prayer life. C.H. Spurgeon said this: if we want him to hear our words, we must first hear his words. In proportion as we hear, we shall be heard. Now, did you catch that? You want God's great harvest, and it's going to happen as you pray, but as you read his word first, then he listens to your word in prayer. Do you see the connection? If you don't see a harvest in your life, maybe it's because you're praying your words and not listening to his word. The fourth thing, in summary, really, is to pray. So you want great harvest in your life and in you and through you. You're going to need to figure out what this word prayer is all about. Because it says here, Jesus says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Wow. Awesome. But you know that was connected to, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Okay. So I want to tell you, if you have no prayer life, you're not going to see a harvest in your life. The power of prayer produces harvest. Okay, so let's describe what this prayer looks like. First of all, this might be a first step for you, the prayer of a yielded life, Romans 12:1. By the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. You have to decide, in your prayer life every day, God, you're in charge, my life is yours, I give myself to you today. The prayer of confession of sin, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful, he's righteous to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And the Christ follower understands, when there is something that's attached to me or clinging to me, or I've given my heart to something that is not pleasing to God, I need to confess that and I need to let it go. And then the harvest comes. Maybe there's not a harvest in your life because you're holding on to sin. Third, it's the prayer of worship. Hebrews 13:15 says that we continually offer a sacrifice of praise with our lips, and so what we should be doing every day is worshiping God in prayer, putting him on the throne, declaring him the one that we are worshiping and serving. The prayer for his kingdom to come to earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. We should be praying that prayer every day. Lord God, this is your kingdom I want to be about today. The prayer to spread the gospel. God, would you give me the words to say? Would you give me opportunities to share the good news? The prayer for more workers for the harvest. Lord God, we need more people to serve you. Lord God, you bring the workers for your harvest. And John 13, the prayer to love one another as Christ has loved us. When you pray for the harvest, and you're praying based on his promises, and you're praying seeking his power, and you're praying for his pruning to do his work, Jesus says there's a much fruit that is waiting for us. Some of you are at a first stage where you got to decide if your life's going to belong to God or not. And maybe you're tired of the harvest you've produced, which is very, very little, and you're ready to have God do much in your life. Some of you might be down the road a little bit, and you're going, God, I know there could be more you could do in me and through me. And Lord God, I know I've resisted the pruning, but Lord God, would you show me what needs to be cut out of my life? And Lord God, would you help me see what you are doing that is good in my life to help me be the man or woman you want me to be? 2018 is coming tomorrow. Ready or not, here it comes. Here's the prayer. A great harvest. Are you ready? Could 2018 be the year where we see a revival and a harvest of God at work? That's what I want. Lord God, I pray for your help right now. There are some in this room that need to make a decision whether they're connected to the vine or not, whether they're going to be a Christ follower or not here in this room. Lord God, I pray this would be the day. Before they enter 2018, I pray that they would make this one decision to be a Christ follower. Make it clear. Surrender to you. Lord God, there are some in this room that they see the branch of their lives and they haven't seen much fruit. I pray that this would be the day where your pruning work does its work and we will be ready for that harvest. Lord, help us to reprioritize where we need to, time in your word, time in prayer, time to serve you, time to live for you. Lord God, I pray right now you would begin your work. And Lord God, I pray that this would all be done for your glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.